We are actually going to start in Psalms 1, if you guys want to flip to that. We're going to take a quick look at Romans 1:17, and it says, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean for us? What does it mean to walk by faith, right? The world tells us, if you can't put math to it, and you can't test it, and you can't reproduce it multiple times, it doesn't exist. Anybody here ever try to put God in a box? Yeah, once or twice, right? And it doesn't work well for us. We can't put God always in a box. We can't always test him. Or can we? Can we? Can we test in a way that we don't realize? When we look at people's lives, millions of lives who have been saved, whose lives have changed because of the message of Jesus Christ, who he was, his death on the cross. Is that testable? Science would tell you no, but I would tell you yes. Our faith walk is a matter of God changing us in who we are. Changing us from wretched people that are living in lives of debauchery and sin and adultery and alcoholism and drug addiction and all that to a life of joy, hopefully joy, or happiness. When we look at the word faith, it means that we need to trust. That's really what it is. That faith is a matter of trusting God with your life. Do we trust God? I hope so. I hope so. That saving faith that we accept, when we accepted Christ, that saving faith was a moral act. It was a moment that we said, God, in that act, I've changed. We became indwelled with the Holy Spirit. He lives within us, right? God dwelling within us. Walking with us, helping us make right decisions, wrong decisions. And where do we come into conflict? Our intellect, right? Our mind battles with what we do inside of our heart to be real, okay? I was just talking to one of the pastors the other day, and he said, I'll ask the question. Does anybody But the number one reason is that people are walking away from faith because the church has not prepared, has not been able to answer the questions. But what we don't realize is that evolution is a faith all of itself. It's a trust. It's a belief. It is definitely interesting. When we walk by faith, and I'm talking a walk by faith, not that saving faith, but a walk of faith, that we trust God to do things for us, that we believe that he is doing things for good in our lives, right? It's not easy always, right? Sometimes it is about adversity. It is things that God will use in our lives to change us. Anybody here ever have conflict? I got it. It's a rhetorical question because we all do. We all have conflict. We all have problems. We all deal with things in our lives. Any of us ever feel that God has abandoned us? That we feel that God's not there? That we're feeling alone? I have. Even in my own walk, I have felt that. I remember the day that Pastor Ray told me, he said, you know what, when you get that feeling, get on your knees and press in, because you got to draw closer to him so that he can draw closer to you. And I did that, and it's amazing. People are leaving churches. People are leaving community. People are leaving because their faith walk is not strong. And today I want to examine it. I want to look at our faith walk. I want to look at some scriptures to help us possibly overcome some of the lies that the world is telling us. Before I do that, Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for the opportunity to come together. Lord, I ask for your blessing on this message. Lord, I ask that your words would come from my mouth. And Lord, that you would bless this this group of people, Lord, that you would provide them a message that would touch their lives and change it. How we walk matters, guys. How we walk matters. First Psalms, happy are those who don't listen to the wicked, who don't go where the sinners go, who don't do what evil people do. They love the Lord's teachings, and they think about those teachings day and night. They are strong, like a tree planted by a river. The tree produces fruit in season, and leaves don't die. Everything they do will succeed. But the wicked are not like that. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. So the wicked will not escape God's punishment. Sinners will not worship with God's people. This is because the Lord takes care of his people, but the wicked will be destroyed. Why don't we go where sinners go? I hope you guys aren't down in the bar drinking. I hope we are not doing things that are inappropriate. Okay? Living a life of sin is so easy. Living a life that is moral is not. We don't do what evil people do. What do evil people do? I'm going to get mine first. Right? They place themselves first. They destroy people around you. I watch it. I work at the college. I've worked in business. I have watched people manipulate situations so that they can destroy other people so that they can get what they want. I have seen it. Thankfully, I have not seen it in this church. Okay? Pastor Ray teaches what the word says. And we're encouraged as a congregation to think about the things that God says, to meditate on the things that God says. That is the things that change who we are, our moral character inside. It is God's word. When you have accepted Jesus Christ, the word comes into you, right? The Holy Spirit comes into you. It begins to change you. Anybody ever hear a testimony of a drug addict who's accepted Jesus Christ and never touches drugs again? That's not physically possible by science standards. Anybody here ever see body parts grow or people's bodies healed through prayer? That's taught in our scripture, but people don't believe it happens. I have seen it. Anybody here ever see demons cast out of a person's life? Science says they don't exist because they're not testable. But I can tell you that I've seen them. Anybody here ever been in a place that's so dark in your life that all you can do is pray for God to work in the situation? All you can do is trust him. A lot of us have. That trust, that faith that we have, we don't know. In good times, faith is never built. Do you realize that? Because you don't have a need to it. We can rely on our own strength. We can rely on our own abilities. We can rely on everything around us. We don't need to have faith when everything is. Anybody know the story of Woodlawn? 1974, Birmingham, Alabama. Segregation was still existing. Blacks were being bused to Woodlawn School. There was violence. There was crime. There was knifings. There was people getting beat up. There was riots. There was things being set on fire. This team, and this is a true story, folks. This team had a preacher come. The preacher had some guts. And he went to the coach and said, I want to talk to your team. I think I have something that's going to bring everybody together. The result was the entire team gets saved. And they changed the community of Birmingham, Alabama. not only did they bring it to where they were, they brought it to their rival school that just beat that kid up and hit him late. They weren't just about hearing the word, they were about doing something with the word. So our faith walk, we're going to go into James 1, is also about doing. Okay? We can hear the words of God all day long, but what are we doing with them? I can give you $1 million, but what are you going to do with it? If we do not take initiatives in the gifts that God gives us, then what are we doing? I love that scene, and I picked that scene out because there's a, I believe it's the, it's an icon for us that all of you are more important than a game. All of you are more important than just a job. All of you are more important than just being here. God made you. God created you. God called you for a purpose. God is preparing us for something great. Can we believe that? Can we believe that God would call us to something bigger than ourselves? Some would say yes, some would say no, but I'm going to say yes. I believe God has great things for this county, for this congregation, for people's lives. God is about ready to change the moral fabric of where we are here in this county. And what is it going to take? It is going to take us and other believers in this county walking by faith, putting it on the line. James 1:19-21. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The word that's in us, Jesus who is in us, we need to accept that. We need to embrace it. We have an old life. I tell this to the youth all the time. They're probably tired of me saying it to them. Your past is not your future. Your choices today are. Your past is not your future. Your choices today are. What do you want to do? Do you want to serve the world or do you want to serve God? That is a battle every one of us face, every minute of our lives. We need to take the things that are ungodly and remove them from our life. It's kind of hard, right? Because if you watch TV, it's pretty ungodly most of the time. Or you're almost anywhere. You can be morally offended, if I can use that term. There's things out there that the world thinks is acceptable that God says is not acceptable. If we look further into the scripture, 22-25, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but he will be blessed in what he does. It's easy to forget. It's easy to walk away. I'm preaching to myself, so you all, hopefully you get something out of this, because I have my own issues, guys. There are times when my mouth is not where it should be. There are times when my attitude is not where it should be. There are times when maybe my heart's not right where it should be. But that's what Jesus died for. That is what he died for, so that we may receive grace, so that we may go forward to do the things that God has asked us to do. Not listening to the word of God is deceiving ourselves. Is there anybody here who really has not had their life changed by Jesus Christ when you accepted it? I hope not. If you have, please see me. We're going to talk. Our lives, at that moment that we've accepted Christ, are changed. We can be blessed in the things that we do. We may not always be appreciated for what we do, but we may be blessed. And there is a difference, guys. Anybody ever do stuff and not get appreciated at all, and you kind of feel a little slated, a little angry about it? But God saw it. And those things are blessed. You know you did it. You did it out of the heart that you have for him. So we're going to continue in James to 26 and 27. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep ones from being polluted by the world. Folks, we're human beings, but we need to be doing as well. We need to be doing things for the kingdom. We need to be doing things for each other. That guy could have put here back out on the field. But what would have happened? He'd have got hurt. Are we willing to put each other in this body? Are we willing to put the ones we love, or even the ones we don't know, the widows and the orphans, before ourselves, and to love them? Doing God's word, hearing it and doing it, is important. It's not just reading the word, which we need to do, but the Holy Spirit who talks to us. The Holy Spirit created all of you for a purpose. He's created all of you. He talks to all of you, either through circumstances, or through word, dreams, visions, whatever. However he's talking to you, he's talking to you. And he has a mission for you. It may not be a pastor. It may just be as simple as buying somebody a cup of coffee. Maybe it's loving the unlovable, as that pastor was saying. Can you love your enemy? So I'm going to tell you a story, a lesson that God taught me this last few months. I have a boss at work. I have three supervisors and then an overall boss. Anybody ever worked for three PhDs? Okay, it's kind of crazy. All right, so they're all right. All three PhDs are right, just so you know. But the one became very critical, was nitpicking at everything. There's some accusations that were made that were untrue because I have a student that does not like me. That's okay. If there's a student that doesn't like me, that's fine. What ended up happening, I was very frustrated. I was thinking about leaving the college, going back into consulting, which would pull me out of every ministry that God has me in, because I'd just be on the road. And I said, God, you need to work this out. What do I need to do? Edify him. You want me to do what, God? You want me to edify the same guy that's tearing me down, that's breaking me down? Yeah. I want you to love him. I want you to edify him. I want you to say good things about him. I want you to be positive in him, around him. God, this is a step of faith. And what has happened over the last 6 weeks as I have done that, his attitude has totally changed. A total 180. And I step back and, all right, Lord, I got it. We need to love those around us. He's also the guy that teaches evolution at the college. There's humor there, guys, really. it's interesting that God will talk to us in our conversation. Our walk that we live is for God's glory and not for ourselves. Our walk has to be for God. Our faith that we walk, doing the moral and right things, putting off the things of this world, is for God. It is for us so that we can be closer to God, but it's for God so God can work through us and do the things in us that he would like to do. Who would like to have their life fulfilled in God's call? Show of hands. Good. A fulfilled life in God's call will bring you peace no matter what you're going through. There are times that we are in the midst of ministry that is ugly. And there is conflict and battles and spiritual issues. And I have the greatest peace when I'm in those, because that's what God's called me to do. I find joy. Today, as we prepare for the supper, communion, let's think about things that are in our life. Alice, if you could just come up and play some guitar for us, please. What do you need to work on in your life? See, we take communion because we do it in remembrance of him, right? And who Jesus is, what Jesus did for us on the cross. That his life was given for you and every one of you. He would have died just for one of you, but he's died for all of us. His death on a cross is so important. Everything we believe, everything that we know. So, we look in Corinthians 1:11-22. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup, is the new covenant. In my blood, do this. Whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, we proclaim you as King, as Lord, and as Savior. Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity to come before you. Lord, we ask that you would bless this time, that as we go forth to take communion, that, Lord, you would be here, stirring in our hearts, letting the things of this world go so that we may draw nearer to you. Lord, work in us and work through us. In Jesus' name. Partake of the bread and the cup. Father, I would ask that you would deepen in us. Lord, we don't do this out of ritual. We don't do this out of obligation. But Lord, we do this out of desire for you, that by faith we know we are healed, Lord. By faith we know that our lives are different. By faith, Lord, we know that we can make a difference to all around us. Lord, by faith we know that we're different. And we're no longer stuck in the patterns of this world. But Lord, we're putting those things away. And Lord, by faith, we accept you. Accept what you did for us on the cross, that we may have eternal life with you. And in this world, Lord, we would have joy in all things. We ask this in Jesus' name.